Matthew chapter 25. The triumphal entry of the Lord had happened a couple days in front of this. Jesus showed up to the Mount of Olives exactly to the day that Daniel chapter 9 said that he would be there. Verses 1 through 13, he said, "Make sure that you are truly saved." And he gave us the parable of the 10 virgins. Verses 14 through 30, "All that God has given me in the light that he could return at any time, what am I doing with my time, my talents, my giftings, and my resources?" And now today, verses 31 through 46, we're going to see something called the separating of the sheep and the goats. And there's lots of speculation, but if we know our Bible, we'll not have any problem knowing exactly what he's saying. Let's check it out. Verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory," write Revelation chapter 19. That's after the 7-year great tribulation, when it's all over, and Jesus returns in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, right in your margin there, millennial reign of Messiah, prophesied in a number of Old Testament locations. Verse 32, when that happens, all the nations will be gathered before him. The Greek word for nation is ethnos or ethne. It's where we're going to get our word ethnic. And here it's referring to non-Jews or Gentiles. So will it be like the United States has to come before and then the Soviet Union? Well, it could be, but I think it's individual people. Right, 3 verses in the margin here to understand this context. The first verse, right, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, comma, Zechariah 14, verses 4 through 5. And then finally, Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. To understand this next section, you have to know those portions of the Bible. The best explainer of what the Bible is trying to say is the Bible itself. Let me read to you Joel chapter 3, verse 2. What do you mean he's going to gather all the nations together? Joel chapter 3, verse 2 tells us, "I will gather all the nations." And that Hebrew word there for nations is goe. And it means the Gentile people. You have one goye, you have 2 or 3 goyim. That's what that is. "I will gather all the goy," singular, which I believe lends credibility that it's going to be one person at a time, "and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people Israel, whom they have scattered," the goye, "among the nations. They have also divided my land." Woe to any politician or potentate who takes it upon themselves to divide up God's land, Israel, or Jerusalem. Hold your finger here in Matthew 25. Let's actually go back to the Old Testament book of Zechariah. We're going to find out exactly what Jesus is saying here. Zechariah 14. Pound for pound, the most prophetic book in the Bible, Zechariah. And if you'd like a verse-by-verse study of it, we've done it, and it's in our library. You can download that if you'd like. But let's run all the way to the last chapter, Zechariah 14. Look at verse number 4. "And in that day," there you should have Revelation 19, when Jesus returns, or in Zechariah's day, when Messiah would set up his millennial kingdom. "In that day, his feet," Messiah's feet. We know Jesus is the Messiah. So in that day, Revelation 19, Jesus' feet is going to stand on the Mount of Olives. That day is the true triumphal entry. The first time, he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Revelation 19, yo, he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I apologize for using the word yo. I don't know where that stuff comes from. And in that day, Revelation 19, Jesus' feet is going to stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem from the east. It's right next door. Now watch this. And the Mount of Olives shall split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Many scholars believe that this is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. As you cruise through your Old and New Testament, you don't really have a definitive location of the Valley of Jehoshaphat. You have to read about Jehoshaphat in 2 Kings and Chronicles and read about what happened there. And I believe the events of real people, real Jehoshaphat, are probably a model of what we're speaking of here. But back to the text. It's going to make a very large valley. Half of the mountain is going to move to the north. Half of it is going to move to the south. And the Bible says when Jesus returns, crack! Mountain moves north and south, revealing a valley that goes all the way through. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40 and following, we get some description of that river that is going to begin to flow from underneath the temple. Parenthetically, there's a hotel on the Mount of Olives that's called the Intercontinental. If you've been to Israel, you've stopped at the Hotel Intercontinental on the Mount of Olives. Their parking lot is one of the greatest views of the Temple Mount. I was there in 83 and then a little bit later in the 80s, and there was a camel there that you could ride for $5, and his name was Kojak. It's a lucrative place because everybody wants to stay on the Mount of Olives. So years ago, says Chuck Missler, the Sheraton Hotel Corporation wanted to build there on the Mount of Olives. And the reason they didn't was because their geologists found a very large fault under the Mount of Olives that's there even now. And it's so large that when it goes, it may crack open so severely that it may open up a waterway that would go all the way to the Jordan Valley, really the Dead Sea. And as Chuck Missler says, oh, that crack's going to go any time. It's just awaiting the pressure of a foot. Verse 5. Then you, Israel, shall flee through my mountain valley, Valley of Jehoshaphat. For the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Nobody knows where that is. The leading contender is the current little place called Beth Ezal. And it's mentioned in Micah chapter 1. Near Gaza. Interesting. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. You can write Amos chapter 1, verse 1, mentions that huge, huge earthquake. Thus the Lord my God will come and, say it with me, all of his saints with you. And write in your margin there, hey, that's Matthew 25, verse 32. And also Mark chapter 16, verse 27. Who's going to be there? Well, we're going to be there because in Revelation 19, we came cruising down with the Lord. The bride of Christ had been taken up at the rapture. We sit in the balcony, so to speak, sequestered away at the marriage feast of the Lamb for 7 years, while the events of the 70th week of Daniel, or the book of Revelation, are all transpiring. And at the end of that time, Jesus says to all of us with our brand new bodies, eternal bodies, when we come back with him, there is another resurrection. Old Testament saints are resurrected and married to their new bodies, eternal bodies, and all the tribulation saints who in the book of Revelation as disembodied spirits under the altar cry, how much longer, Lord, are you going to let the Antichrist go nuts? Actually, it's going to be for only 1,260 days. But they get their new bodies as well. And we all come down with him. And then the battle of Armageddon is raging in full force. But we don't fight the battle of Armageddon, you guys. Jesus does. And you know how he does it? With a word that goes out of his mouth. And they're all suddenly dispatched. Now, a peculiar thing, if you know Isaiah 63. When we see him, we will be dressed in white linens. My hunch, it's not a fabric. My hunch, it's actually brilliant white light. But I don't know. We'll see. If you're looking at me and I'm looking at you and we're wearing light itself, then you can go, way to go, Pastor Steve. But if it is a nice linen, that'll be okay too. We are all in white linen. The Old Testament saints in their new bodies, they're in their white linen, Isaiah and Ezekiel and so on, Zechariah. And then all the tribulation saints, those who missed the rapture, but then became Christians and believers during the course of the Great Tribulation, but at great cost to them, most of them lose their heads. We're on brilliant, sparkling white. Jesus' robes are spattered in blood, says Isaiah 63. We're looking good, you know, right from the dry cleaner. Lord, why are your robes bloodied? And in Isaiah 63, Jesus says, because I've been treading the winepress from Basra. Basra is the Old Testament name for the current city of Petra, where the Jews have been hiding out for the last half of the Great Tribulation. Because in Revelation chapter 12, we see the woman Israel who gave birth to the man child that would be the Lord Jesus, and then she is whisked away for protection. But the Antichrist, in the form of a dragon, opens his mouth, and a flood goes after or chases the woman Israel. But then the Lord opens up the ground and swallows the flood. What's going on? That dragon is the devil, and at that point, the last half of the Great Tribulation, he has demon-possessed the human who is the Antichrist. And so the Antichrist, who now is wielding unimaginable power, way more than any of the emperors who have ever lived, most of his troops are heading to Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. But some of them are dispatched to go get and kill the believing remnant of Israel. And then somehow, supernaturally, they are swallowed up in a moment's time. Earlier in the book of Zechariah, you know who swallowed up Antichrist's fortresses? Jesus did. And he says, I tread the winepress. What do you do to the little grapes that are there in the wine press? You what? You stomp on them. It is Jesus who supernaturally takes care of all the pursuing Antichrist's forces going after the believing remnant in the rock city of Petra. He takes care of business there. Then he rockets back up to heaven, so to speak, and he says, okay, it's safe to come down now. The church, Old Testament saints, and tribulation believers, we begin Jesus' physical reign on the planet. That's what this is referring to. Are you still there in Zechariah chapter 14? One more time, look at verse 5. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, the one that he opened up with the pressure of his foot. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Amos 1, verse 1. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. Now would you make your way over to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse number 11. And if you're there, write these four other verses. Daniel 12, verse 7. Write that in there. Daniel 12, verse 7. Then, Daniel 7, verse 25. Then, Revelation 13, verse 5. And finally, Revelation 12, verse 6. Chapter 12, verse 7. Daniel says, It shall be for a time, one, times two, for a total of three, and a half a time, 3.5 years. In the Jewish calendar, 3.5 years was 1,260 days. And when the power of the holy people has completely shattered, this is when they're in the rock city of Petra. They've been there for 3.5 years, and it looks like it's curtains for them. Here comes, swooping in, all of the forces of the Antichrist, and it looks like their hiding place has been discovered. So when the holy people of Israel has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So you should have 1,260 days. Now I'll read for you Daniel 7, verse 25. The Antichrist shall, quote, persecute the saints of the Most High. These are the believing portions of Israel and the tribulation saints. He's going to persecute those guys, and they will be given into his, the Antichrist's, hand. And it's going to be awful. How long? For a time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. That's the last half of the tribulation. That's 1,260 days. Now I'm going to read for you Revelation 13, verse 5. And he, the Antichrist, was given authority to continue to prevail for 42 months. Guess how long that is? That's 3.5 years. And that means it's 1,260 days. Now, Revelation 12, verse 6. Then the woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness. That's likely Bosra, or the rock city of Petra, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. Hey, wait a minute. That's 42 months. That's 3.5 years. That's a time times and a half a time. Do you see that these four verses are saying, hey, Israel, it's not up for debate. When the abomination of desolation, which marks the halfway point of the great 7-year tribulation, the first 3.5 years, remember, Israel has gotten their temple back by and through the agency of the Antichrist himself. And they're so overwhelmed that he has healed the Middle East peace problem. Everybody's been trying to get peace in the Middle East, but it's not going to happen until the Antichrist does so. And part of the carrot for Israel is, he says, I'm going to build you your long-awaited temple. Their temple has been gone since 70 AD when the Romans destroyed it. They came back in the land in 1948, but they didn't have Jerusalem. And then in 1967, the Six Days War, then they got Jerusalem back. But is there a temple, a Jewish temple, currently in Jerusalem? No, that's not going to happen until the Antichrist pulls that trigger. And Israel is so overwhelmed. Nobody has been able to get this for us. You know, you must be our Messiah. The Antichrist lets them have their temple oblations and sacrifices. Halfway in the middle, he breaks his promise. He stops the sacrifices of the Jews exalting Jehovah God. And you know what he does? He places a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. And then everybody who doesn't worship his image, his statue, dies. Chapter 13, he institutes an economic system where you can't buy or sell unless you have his mark in your forehead or in your right hand. It is so specific that the Bible talks about it as 1,260 days, you can start counting. 3.5 years, you can count. A time, a times, and half a time, and even 42 months. When the unveiling of the abomination of desolations happens, you can begin a stopwatch and you will find it will be 1260 days until Revelation 19. When Jesus has come from Basra, he says to all of us, "Hey, bride of mine, let's go. Hey, Old Testament saints, suddenly with their resurrected bodies. Hey, tribulation saints, let's all go." Now, if you're in Daniel chapter 12, with that in mind, look now at verse 11. Verse 11, Daniel chapter 12. "From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away," we know what this is referring to, the abomination of desolation. Halfway into the Great Tribulation, "and the abomination of desolation," that statue, "is set up." You should probably circle that and write in the margin there, Nathan, Naw-Than. That's the Hebrew word here. And it means to give up or to give over. In our vernacular, taken down. You read it one more time, verse 11. "From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away," that's when the Antichrist puts his statue, "start the stopwatch until the abomination of desolation," or that statue, "is taken down, there shall be 1290 days. Steve, what's going on here? 1260 days from when the statue goes up to when Jesus comes down. 30 days after Jesus returns to the planet, he leaves the statue there. Why? I don't really know. My speculation is because of the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the separating of the sheep and the goats. I think this 30 days is when the separating of those that really believe in Jesus Christ and those that don't. Let's keep reading. Verse 12, "And blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So, take your 1260. That's when Jesus returns, Revelation 19. Add your 30. The statue is allowed to stay in the Holy of Holies. And then on top of that, add 45 more days for a total of 75 days. Why are those blessed who make it until the 75th day? Mark in your margin here. Matthew 25, verse 32, that's why. As amazing as it sounds, some of the humans who make it through all 7 years of the Great Tribulation, including the seven trumpets and the seven bowls, there will be some who will still not be convinced.